Good morning, everyone. So the reading is from Luke 14, verses 7 onwards. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honour, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honour, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for now everything is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.'" Amen.
Thank you so much, Tanya, for that reading. It'd be really good if you keep your Bible open here at Luke 14. We're going to be particularly focusing on verses 15 to 24. So it'd be great to keep your Bible open there. With the email that came out on Friday, there were a couple of links that you could download. So there was a sermon outline. So maybe you have that ready or you could pull it up. There was also a kids sheet that was emailed out as part of that too. So maybe you've printed that off, and kids, hopefully you're able to follow along with that. Now next Sunday, we're going to get back into the book of Acts. That's the plan. But for today, we're going to focus on these verses from Luke 14. Before we do that, let's commit this to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that your word is wonderful and encouraging and clear and powerful. Thank you, Father, that you use your word to speak to us, to build us up, to convict us, to draw us to the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do that now. And we pray that you would do this for your glory and for the sake of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Now, there are many things in life which are quite different at the moment. But one of those that is quite different to what it, way it was is eating and the whole process around food. Shopping for food, now that's different, isn't it? You go to the shops now and you kind of hope that the things that are on your shopping list will actually be there on the shelves. And maybe if they aren't, it's caused a slight change of menu planning at the home. One of the things that is quite different in our house at the moment is us all eating together every night. I think we've just hit about 14 or 15 nights this last week, where we've all been together for one meal and no one's had to rush off for anything. And of course, eating out is very different. Yes, there is Uber Eats for those who want it, but romantic dinners out now look very, very different for us. Now, this passage that we're looking at this morning comes in the middle of a meal. It's quite obviously a pre-coronavirus meal because Jesus has been invited to someone else's house. And a number of other people have come there as well. There is no social distancing being practiced at this meal. But to be honest, the meal is not going very well. The food's probably fine. That's not the issue. The issue is one of the dinner guests. In fact, it's Jesus himself. He has managed already throughout chapter 14 to offend just about everybody at the dinner table. Now, you might want to look back at the start of chapter 14. We didn't read it, but the first six verses tell us how Jesus healed a man there. Jesus is at the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath. And for them, this was an absolute no-no. It was a breaking of God's law. It would not have gone down well. Then he tells a story which tells off all of the dinner guests around the table, because he noticed that they all rush for the important places around the table. And he says, no, when you go, actually go for the least place. And then lastly, and not leastly, he manages to tell off the host of the feast as well. He tells him off for just inviting his rich friends who can invite him back. He says, no, when you hold a feast like this, you should invite the people who can't pay you back, who can't invite you to their house as well. Now, in the middle of that meal and in the middle of that tension, and maybe because it's tense and he's trying to break it, someone calls something else. If you have a look there, it's in verse 15. Jesus has just talked about the resurrection of the just, and someone says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus uses this comment, he uses this meal, and he uses this tension to teach us something. To teach us something about the kingdom that he is bringing, that he is ushering into the world. And he does that by telling a story. It's a story of a very fancy meal, a great banquet, the kind of meal that you would really want to be invited to. It's a story with a lot of good news. And if you have your outline there, you'll notice we've got good news one and good news two. But it's also a story with a very firm warning for us as well. So let's dive in. We're going to pick it up at verse 16, where Jesus begins to tell the story. And he says, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. This guy is putting on a feast, a lavish meal. Think of all of your favorite foods. Kids who are listening in, who are tuned in today, what would you want to be on the menu at this great feast? What would you like to eat? Maybe chips, maybe tacos, maybe roast chicken, maybe cauliflower, maybe not the cauliflower. And maybe you would want your favorite dessert there as well. Now, as soon as Jesus starts telling the story, I can imagine that people start thinking, what would I want at this great banquet? And they were thinking about all of their favorite foods. But that wasn't all that they were thinking about. They were thinking of something else as well. You see, why does Jesus tell the story of a great banquet? Why doesn't he tell the story of people going on a camping trip or to the movies or going for a haircut or anything else that you can't do at the moment? Why a great banquet? Well, as soon as he starts talking about this meal, he taps into one of the big themes in the Bible, the great feast or the great banquet that God is preparing for his people. You see, Murray started this service this morning with Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, God promises a meal for his people which is going to be free. A little earlier in the book of Isaiah, he says this: on the mountain of the Lord of hosts, this is Isaiah 25, on the mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich foods, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, aged well, wine well refined. They were waiting for this great feast that God was going to bring them. That's why in many of the stories that Jesus tells and in the miracles that he performs, there's food involved, an abundant food. Remember that miracle where Jesus provided dinner for 5,000 and then a little later on for 4,000 people. What was it? It was a sign that this great feast had come. And actually, in the chapter before this one, in Luke chapter 13, when Jesus talks about entering into the kingdom, he says this: and people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And when we get to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19, it pictures for us eternity as a great wedding supper of Jesus united to his bride, the church, forever. You see, what Jesus is doing here as he begins the story is he's reminding us that God is preparing something for his people, for his whole world. It's a great banquet, and there's food, and there's drink, and there's fun. But there's more than that. It's more than just eating and drinking. It's a meal that can be enjoyed because things are right now. Because people have been restored back to relationship with God. Because people have now been united to one another. It's a meal that can be enjoyed because all of creation has been put right again. God has dealt with sin, and God has dealt with the curse. Now, I wonder what it is that you're really looking forward to when this whole self-isolation time, this time of coronavirus, is ended. I had this thought the other day: how good is it going to be when we as a church get back together in one room at the same place and at the same time? Whenever that is, whether it's weeks or whether it's months, how good is it going to be that first time when we get back together? All those huggers will be able to hug again. All those handshakers will be able to shake hands again. And all those for whom self-isolation is just a wonderful gift, well, they're just going to have to get used to being uncomfortable once again. And I reckon that when we can do it, we're going to have a church lunch together. And it will be so good. But you know what this will be? This will be a reminder and a foretaste that God has something even bigger in store. He has an eternal feast that he is preparing for his people. A time when creation will be new again, and his people will be together with him forever. You see, in one sense, the situation that we're in at the moment, it's very new and it's very unique for us. We haven't been here before. But in another sense, this is not unique or new at all. We live in a world where there is sickness, where people die, where there is evil and where there is sin. And even after coronavirus is long gone, maybe not forgotten, but when it's all over, the world still won't be right. But this is good news number one. One day it will be. One day it will all come to an end. Not just corona, but all those things. Because God is preparing a great feast for his people. And we will be together with him, one with each other. Because Jesus has dealt with sin and is restoring this world. All right, let's continue then, because there is good news number two coming up. In this story, this man has not just prepared a great feast, he has invited people to come. He's not just cooked up a storm so that he can take a photo of it and or put an Insta post of all the food that he's made. It's there to be enjoyed. And verse 16 tells us that he didn't just gave it, he invited, he says, verse 16, many. Now, who has he invited to come? Because this is really important. Because if God is preparing an eternal feast, who gets to be there? Do we get to be there at it? Now, in verse 16, as I said, it tells us that he invited many. And in those days, the invite that a person would give for a feast was a two-stage invitation. The first one would be the general invite to say, from a servant, to say, my master is preparing a feast. It's a great banquet, and he wants to know if you can come. And as this feast had happened, lots of people had said, yep, we'll be there. Can't wait, looking forward to it. But now he goes around and he goes to everybody and says, it's ready, come. Come along and join in. And then if you have a look, one by one, they start to refuse. They start to make excuses. I've just bought a field. I've bought some oxen. I bought a wife, or I've married a wife. I can't come. Now, we'll deal with those excuses in a moment. So but let's notice next then, who else gets invited. Because as the servant goes back and says to the master, they're not coming, the master says to him, it's down in verse 21, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. And the servant says, I've done that already, and they're waiting, but there's still room left. And so the master says, well, go out even further. Go out, he says, into the highways and the hedges, compel people to come in. Look at what he says, that my house may be full. Who gets an invite to this eternal feast? Who is invited to this? Well, good news number two is that it's everyone. Everyone is getting an invite. Now, I wonder if you've ever missed out on an invitation before. I think that most of us, unless we're probably Mr. Popular or Mrs. Popular, have been in that situation before. Kids, maybe you've had it that all your friends got invited to a birthday party, but yours didn't come. Or maybe there was a wedding and invitations went out and we thought we might get an invite, but when it comes to it, we're not there. Or there's this group that arranges to go to the movies and everybody else seems to know about it, but we don't. We can feel pretty low, can't we? We might worry that we missed the invite, it got lost in the mail, but we can feel pretty left out. But this invitation to God's eternal feast, it goes out to all. And notice, there's a special invite to those who would usually miss out. to those who would usually be considered beneath, under it, or too low, or not worthy. Good news number two is that God isn't just putting on a feast, but he's inviting us to be a part of it, to be a part of his kingdom both now and forever. He's inviting us to a new relationship with him. He's inviting us to be a part of a restored people. He's inviting us to enjoy a renewed creation. And how's he invited us? Well, he's invited us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's invited us in the offer of the gospel. He's invited us to repent and believe in Jesus and be a part of his family and his kingdom forever. That's why he can invite the have-nots and the sinners and the strugglers and the broken and the weak. Because not only has he invited, but he's made the invitation free. Because he's made it in Christ. And in Christ, the entry has been paid for in full. You see, we might be one of those who are worried that we're simply not good enough for this feast. Our clothes might be shabby and dirty, or our behaviour is sinful and shameful. We might think, I have all these things in my life that I know are wrong, that God must hate. How can I ever be a part of this feast? Well, you've been invited, but it's not because you were good enough, because your clothes are fine and fancy, or your party etiquette is perfect. We've been invited in our weakness, in our brokenness, and in our sin by a Saviour who has paid the entry price in full with his own blood, who covers our sin and our shame on the cross, who invites us to come, repent and believe, and enjoy the eternal feast that God has prepared for us. Before we wrap up, however, we do have to realize that in this story, as good as the news is, there is a warning. And Jesus does not want us to miss it, because he does not want us to miss out. Remember that there were people who were invited, but when it came to it, they refused. That guy says, I've just bought a field, I've got to go and have a look at it. The guy says, I've just bought some oxen, I've got to see if they can do the job. And there's a guy that says, I've just got married, please excuse me. Now let's be really clear, these are excuses, and they're not legitimate. Who buys a field without having a look at it first? Would any of us dare buy a home without going and looking at it first? Or at least not without 1,000 photographs and maps of what it looked like? Who would buy a second-hand car without an inspection? None of us. Now, the guy who gets married, it sounds a little bit more legitimate. In the Old Testament, there was the rule that if you were married, you were excused from serving in the army for the first year of your marriage. But this isn't a war. This is a dinner party. It's just an excuse. When it comes to it, they're too busy. They don't think the party worthwhile enough. Maybe they consider it beneath them. And sadly, this is still the case today. As the invitation goes out, people are still refusing. Oh, I'll deal with that later. I'm having too much fun right now. Oh, I don't need that dinner party, that great feast. That's just a crutch for weak people. Or maybe I've seen the invite list. I'm not sure if I want to be associated with people like that. Why is this so sad and such a warning? Well, the last verse really is where Jesus hits this home, where he says, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." They miss out. They don't just miss out on a meal. They miss out on the eternal life that God is offering so wonderfully and so freely through their Saviour Jesus. You see, don't be fooled. Just because it's free doesn't mean that it's cheap. And just because you can come with nothing doesn't mean that it's worthless. This eternal feast is worth everything. Everything. One of the things that we've really been reminded of in the last few weeks is how quickly life can change. 2 weeks ago, we were enjoying Sunday at church camp. Who would have thought that 2 weeks later, we'd be in our own homes doing this by distance? Things change so quickly. Church, don't put it off. Don't put off the invitation that Jesus is bringing. To younger people here, maybe you've got a little more time on your hands at the moment. Maybe a little space to think like you don't normally have. Have you accepted this invitation to an eternal feast, eternal life with God in Christ? Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't make excuses. Don't miss out. To older people here, and I mean everybody, you might have been a part of church, things that go on for many years. It may be, however, that you never accepted the invitation that God offers in Christ. It could be that church is ritual and habit, something that you've always done. But don't miss out on the eternal feast which God is offering. I want to read again those verses that Murray used at the start, a little later on in Isaiah 55. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. Church, let me lead you in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that in your grace and your mercy, you have invited broken, sinful people to be a part of your kingdom, to enjoy your eternal feast with you. Thank you that the price has been paid in full in our Saviour. Thank you that everything has been done and the feast is being prepared. Thank you that we even get to enjoy parts of it now while we wait for Jesus to return. But Lord God, we do pray for each other and those that we know. Lord God, we long to see one another there at that eternal feast. And so, Lord God, please draw us to Christ. Help us see the wonderful richness of the life that he offers us. Lord God, may we not be a people who make excuses, who put it off, but that we turn to you today. We ask this for one another. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as we close this morning, and we will go back to the music that we started with in a few moments, let me finish with these words from 1 Peter chapter 5. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.